The recordings are now started.
Thank you very much. So this call is being recorded. Welcome everyone to this Accountability Legal Subteam call. And we will begin with the proposed agenda. We have on this call several members of the legal subteam, as well as members from the different law firms that were engaged to provide legal advice. The roll call will be based on those present on the Adobe Connect room. If there is anyone that is not in the Adobe Connect room but is present on the phone bridge, I would kindly ask you to say your name at this point so we can add you to the roll call. So do we have anyone on the phone bridge that is not present at the Adobe Connect room? Okay, I don't listen to anyone, so we're done with the roll call. And jumping into the first point of our agenda, I would like to address some of the concerns that were highlighted or pointed yesterday night on the email traffic in the list with regards to how we feel that we can make a better use of everyone's time and how we can better address the different questions that have been raised not only through the Adobe Connect room in the meetings, but also in the list. And I see Holly Gregory has her hand up. Holly, could you please take the floor?
Sure. Good morning, everyone. And we woke up this morning to the stream of emails, and they were very elucidating and helpful in many, many ways. But we do want to talk about how we can perhaps help you help us be more efficient and effective in sort of guiding this process in terms of providing legal advice. You know, we can probably get things about 80% right, sort of on the fly, but the devil, as we go down these paths, is going to be in the details. And so the more we can understand about the context for a question and the ability to have some time to do some research can be very important. So I just want to put that out there. I do think that rather than have a free flow of sort of questions coming from all members of the committee, if there was some mechanism for the committee to coordinate and agree on the questions that it was going to ask and consolidate them, that could be very, very helpful. Sometimes the questions go back to things that have been addressed in whole or in part in some of the documents that have already been provided by the two law firms. The other suggestion that I have is I know that there's a distinction between the California law and governance issues and then sort of everything else in determining the work between the law firms. But we have looked at a lot of these issues on the CWG side. And in terms of efficiency, it may be helpful to have a process where the two law firms coordinate when you have questions and think about which questions it makes the most sense for which firm to address based on, you know, what we've already, some of the work that's already been done. Just a suggestion out there to help with efficiency. That being said, we're happy to defer to any way that you want to organize this. Thank you.
Thank you very much for this, Holly. Yes, I see Athena Fraculli hand this up, but before I go to her, point out that this single document with the different questions in order to compile them already exists, and that is our scoping document. Everyone has access to that document, so we could, of course, go, add more questions as they become raised. And if you see or if you feel that we might have another method to compile these different questions, well, of course, we will look into it. And another way of compiling these questions is the memos that we will be sending to you with the official or the formal assignments of each questions. So each memorandum will be filed in the wiki page, in the wiki space for the legal subteam, so anyone can keep track of the different questions that have been raised so far. But I would suggest that we focus the compilation of the different questions that are being raised in the scoping document that Robin Gross drafted, and I think Athena Bracoli has also made a list of new questions already. So we will be adding them to the document shortly today, and we can begin, of course, having a look to the different questions that have already been raised, and those who are that are new, well, of course, we would be needing to further elaborate on those questions. So now I'd like to turn to Athena. Athena, you have the floor.
Thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
Can you hear me? Oh, okay. Yes, thank you very much. I think it's a good idea that this issue was raised up, and thank you very much for doing so. Of course, I very much agree with what Leon said. I think it's important that we understand that, of course, you know, the lawyers don't know how this community communicates with each other, and yes, it might be confusing for someone that gets in touch with such a communication. And I think that's the role of the legal sub team. The legal sub team is the one that will filter this various questions and issues and misunderstanding that that happen, of course, and will be the channel for the communication to the lawyers and from the lawyers to the community. And that was the whole purpose of the scoping document. That's the purpose of documenting and all our communication and archiving everything and so on. And, of course, every new questions will be... I think it was agreed last time that new questions and any questions to the lawyers will be submitted formally by the legal team. It will be like a formal request for legal opinion for anything new. And the lawyers should not feel obliged to respond to every question that may come up. At least that was my understanding from our last call. Also, so in this terms, sure, the lawyers should expect this new request for further legal analysis and so on. Also, I remember that last time we said that the two law firms will coordinate and have one voice. And as far as I'm concerned, I'm still fine with this agreement. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Athena. You're right about what you just said. And yes, with regards to coordination between the law firms, we had agreed that, of course, private calls between them would be not only okay, but they would be desirable, so they can coordinate on how to address the different questions that are being raised. Now I have David McCauley with his hand raised. So, David, could you please take the floor?
Thank you, Leon. And I agree with what Athena was just saying. And I also understand Holly's request. And in light of the overnight message traffic, and the questions that have been coming in, a number of which I added myself, I can understand the need for a little bit more clarity. I like the scoping document, but I think maybe we need to, among ourselves and the legal sub-team, help clarify or compile in a little bit of a more clear way, and maybe we could just make a section under the scoping document where everything's compiled. And I think, Leon, when we send questions to the lawyers, you know, that we... Obviously, our questions are out there for everybody to see, but when we get together and send them, we might need to get together again on the phone once per week just to go through that. It just seems overwhelming now with the questions that are coming in and in light of the concerns that were raised last night. So that's what I wanted to say. Thank you.
Thanks, David. You're right. As you may be familiar with, in any legal exercise like this, there is a time when we get overwhelmed with loads of questions, mainly at the beginning of each exercise. So I think we're going through this phase now, and we will need to have to put some order into the questions and, of course, hand them in a smoothly way to the lawyers so they don't get confused and we don't overwhelm them as well with lots of questions just on the fly. So I see Greg's hand is up. Greg Shatton, please take the floor.
Thank you, Leon. Greg Shatton here. A couple of responses to what I've heard. I think that the legal scoping document is a fine document, but and to some extent the questions that are in there are kind of inform our work from beginning to end. But in a number of ways, we've kind of moved beyond that. We've had preliminary responses to it. I think we need to think carefully about what kind of advice we need, and that's obviously the law firms should weigh in there equally, and also about we need to think about whether we're looking to play kind of a more of a question and answer kind of exercise, or whether we're looking for more holistic advice in terms of creating a structure. This is obviously a situation where the law firms have come in, unfortunately, midstream, and we're already building this house to some extent as unlicensed contractors, and looking for advice about this half-built house. So we have a lot of things that are really underway, and I'm not sure how transparent the actual work methods or work products of the CCWG are to the outside counsel. And I'm concerned that if we, on the one hand, just kind of pepper them with random questions, there's a lack of holistic understanding and context. On the other hand, given that we're already, have a lot of stuff that's half built, going away and creating a structural proposal in isolation also doesn't strike me as quite the right method. And in terms of coordinating between the two law firms, I didn't think that the idea was that they would speak with one voice. I thought it was more of a divide and conquer with collaboration and going on as well, so that certain each firm had a mandate. Obviously, there is a big area of overlap, and especially given that the CWG assignment is, which Sidley has, is somewhat further along, a lot of the same questions or similar questions have been answered. So, don't need to we shouldn't invest in answering the same questions twice if we can help it. So I think we need to think about how to, whether we're creating kind of the right interface between our work product and our counsel. And I'm also very concerned about the timeline. We're talking about here, somebody suggests weekly calls, and there's an issue about whether, when kind of formal legal advice would be returned to the committee. We need to, and I don't know if the lawyers have even seen the timeline or if they have, whether, it's even yet and still would make some sense to review the timeline that we're working against. We're kind of already in overtime to a certain extent, and so the ability to adjust, time further is limited. Obviously, we need to take the time we take. On the other hand, we need to see how and we can integrate the law firm's capacity and capabilities into our timeline before we go back to the full CCWG and tell them we have to throw out the timeline, which in turn affects the timeline of the CWG and the submissions of the IANA transition documents to the ICG and ultimately the NTIA and the IANA transition itself. So, you know, this is not a hothouse exercise. This is an exercise taking place in a geopolitical context. So I think we need to have a kind of a more fundamental discussion about our process and our expectations and our working methods before we kind of go off onto, you know, playing Q&A. Thanks.
Thanks, Craig. I see Holly Gregory's hand is up. I don't know if that's an Ohan or a Newham, Holly.
That's because I'm not yet adept at this. Forgive me, I'm a bit of a Luddite. I will lower it.
No problem. Thank you, Holly. Yes, I don't think that the current question and answer format may result in the best use of everyone's time. I agree with that. And that's why in the third point of the agenda, I would like to focus on the four elements that we have so far agreed that would be the empowerment of the community, and which we will go through in a moment. But before we do that, I'd like to call for a correction on the notes. I see that there's a note that states that the legal subteam will filter questions, and I think this is not quite accurate, as we will not filter questions, but rather we will make sure that there are no duplicate questions, because if someone reads that we will be filtering questions, that might be a huge misunderstanding, which we, of course, want to avoid. So we will not be filtering questions, but rather just reviewing them in order to see that there are no duplicate questions in those assigned to the lawyers. So thanks for correcting that on the notes. And I see Athena Fakuli hand this up again. So Athena, you have the floor.
Thank you. Actually, it was my mistake, not the person that took the notes mistake, because I said we will filter, whereas I meant we'll channel and review and exactly all the things you said. So thank you very much for spotting that, Leon. I would like just to say that the Q&A exercise when it comes to legal questions and legal issues would be like a good exercise for the beginning, then it might change, but then may come again. But I don't think we can exclude, you know, this Q&A format of us asking for advice. That was my point. Thank you.
Thanks, Athena. Yes, I mean, we can't avoid the question and answer format, of course, but I think we need to provide the lawyers with more context, as they have surely mentioned on the email list, and I agree with them. I mean, if they don't have the whole context, they won't be able to give us the best advice they can. And I see a question from Samantha Eisner on the chat that she's asking, isn't there a role of the subteam to make sure that the questions raised are applicable to the work at hand? And I would say yes, of course, if there is a question that is falling out of the scope of the working group, well, of course, that question wouldn't make it to the lawyers. And that would be one kind of filtering, if you may say so. But what I mean is that we won't be discriminating any questions firsthand. We will, of course, review all of them. We will make sure that there are no duplicate questions, and we will ensure that the questions that are handed over to lawyers are within the scope of the charter of the working group. We will not be addressing, of course, personal concerns with regards to anyone's activity that fall out of the scope of our charter. So I don't know if that answered your question, Samantha, and I see Greg Chatham had this up, so I'd like to turn to him. Greg, could you please take the floor?
Thank you, Leon. Two things. I see Holly's question in the chat. Is there a role for the legal subteam in establishing priorities and workflow, Ray addressing questions? And Robin saying that's her understanding, and that's my understanding too. I think we need to triage. We cannot just hit the lawyers with every non-duplicative question. We have a process and an endpoint that is relatively close. I would love to engage in a let a thousand flowers bloom sort of legal Q&A exercise that would be educational. But I think we have to be oriented toward our process. I agree it's important to be transparent and accountable, but I think we need to be accountable for the decisions we make in order to prioritize things, in order to get answers, in order to build the structures that we need to build in the time we have to build them, rather than, you know, running off on frolics and detours, which, while interesting and possibly part of Workstream 2 and possibly part of the bigger question of accountability writ large, are not part of getting the thing built that we are building against the timeline that we... And before we go on to number three in methodology, I really think we need to talk about timeline and expectations before going on to any, you know, single question of substance. Thank you.
Thanks, Greg. And yes, timeline is, of course, a big concern. We have a very tight timeline, and we are expected to do whatever we can to, of course, stick to the timeline, but reminding us that we would give priority to quality of work rather than speed, of course. And I've been disconnected from the Adobe Connect room, and I will be online shortly. But so just to recap what we've just spoken so far, I would like to just point out some points that I'm taking from this. And of course, our working methods have already been established. There are in our wiki page. And just a couple of points here. All questions will be assigned to the lawyers through memorandum. So if we see, or if the lawyers see, any questions flying out there in the mailing list, of course, it's important for them to just get a notion of what's been discussed, but they shouldn't begin addressing the questions until they get formal memorandum from the legal subteam assigning those questions, because there might be some questions that indeed fall out of scope of our work, and we wouldn't want to waste the lawyer's time nor Eigen's money on addressing questions that might fall out of scope. Then another point is that maybe we should be considering two-hour weekly calls, and I think that that would be useful. I don't know if the rest of the members of the group could be able to make a two-hour call, and I would like to feel the temperature in the room if you could signal with a green tick to see if we can arrange two-hour calls. I see Greg Shatton. Okay, Greg Shatton. It wasn't a hand up. It was an agree signal. So I see Greg Shatton, Athena, David, Macaulay, Jonathan Suck, myself, Robin Gross. Okay, so we are in agreement with that. I don't see Ed Morris. Ed Morris is not on the call this time. So, yeah, he is. So he's agreeing as well. And, okay, so I think we will be having two-hour calls weekly. So, of course, I can ask the staff to make the proper arrangements so we can reschedule our calls to have a two-hour duration. Okay. Okay, so with this, I'd like to go to the next. And, of course, well, one last point. Our scoping document will be the main document in which we'll be working, and all the questions that are assigned to the lawyers will be, of course, put in that document. So there is a track of all the questions that have been formally assigned, regardless of the memos that will be sent to the lawyers and that will also be uploaded to the wiki page. The legal scoping document will have these questions added, so anyone can keep track of everything that has been going on. So Ed Morris is suggesting that we may have part of the call with subgroup members. Could you elaborate on that, Ed?
Sure, Leon. I just think it may be best for us to talk among ourselves before we bring the lawyers in, so we're a little bit more clear about what we want from the retained counsel.
Excellent suggestion, Ed, and I support it. We might then spend the first hour or maybe less, maybe half an hour, amongst the legal sub-team members and then call in the lawyers. This might be at some time or at some point confusing because, of course, if we're thinking that we will be spending half an hour, 45 minutes, then 1 hour or so, then we would have problems calling in the lawyers at the right time. So I suggest that if we're going to have these two-hour calls and we're going to have a space just for legal sub team members, I would suggest we have the first hour for sub team members and the second hour for the larger audience, including of course the lawyers. So let's structure it that way. I don't see anyone raising their hand now, so I would like to go into the next point of our agenda. And with this, I think it would be the first step towards focusing our work forward. And what I'd like to put on the table, because I know Rosemary has raised certain points in the mailing list, is that we don't want to really reinvent the wheel. We don't need to, we're not looking for the lawyers to provide us with a new governance and legal structure for ICANN so far, as I can tell. What we're looking from the lawyers is to provide us with advice on whether the proposals that are being put on the table at the moment are legally viable from, of course, the California law point of view, and if not, how can we address those points that might not be feasible. I see Joshua Hofheimer has asked for clarification. Should Seedley and Adler endeavor to respond only to the questions posed to us through updates to the scoping memo? Does that mean if it is on the wiki page, we might see it but not respond to it until it is added to the memo? Okay. Well, the questions will come formally to the lawyers through memorandums that will be sent directly from the legal sub-team. So if you don't see a question on a formal memo, you don't get to address it until you get it on the memo. Okay? And just a point of clarification with regards to the two-hour calls. When I meant the first hour only for legal sub-team members, that is meant to be, of course, to the members of the wider group, I mean the cross-community working group on enhancing ICANN's accountability. Everyone is welcome to come to the call, and then we would call in the lawyers. So the first call would only exclude the lawyers, but would include anyone else that wants to join in and comment with the legal sub-team. So moving forward, as I said, we would like to focus on what's being put on the table now. And we have so far two proposals to empower the community, and this is what we would like to get advice on. We would like to have, of course, a discussion that we're short in time and we wouldn't be able to address at this call, but we will continue to do so through the mailing list and further calls on how can we have mechanisms to, of course, remove the board if that was the case. I am aware that some of of the questions and some of the points that address this concern have already been answered in the initial feedback that we got back from the lawyers. And this would be what we're looking for with this legal advice, to provide us with this maybe structures, mechanisms, of course, all the caveats that would entail a board removal process. Maybe we're looking to having some kind of transitory board in case the whole board is removed. So this is the kind of questions that we would be looking to have an answer on. And for example, with budget approval, it has been discussed that the community would like to be empowered. We would like to empower the community to have the budget blocked in the case that that the board doesn't consider, for example, some sort of provisions, like, for example, with regards to the IANA functions. If the community sees that the budget for the IANA functions is not addressed in an orderly fashion and is not sufficient for that function, well, then we would need to have some powers to block that budget and just turn it back to the board so they can review that budget and, of course, rectify that budget. I see Holly Gregory's hand is up. Please, Holly, could you take the floor?
Certainly, Leon, and thank you. I just want a point of clarification about the agenda items today. Are you looking now to have a discussion of that greater level of detail around the community empowerment mechanisms, board removal, budget approval, bylaw approval, and golden bylaws? I think all of those were addressed both in the Adler memo and in our memo, although at a very high level. And it seems to me the next step is for you to task us with going and saying, okay, how would you operationalize that? What would that look at from a legal perspective? What are the options? And what are the additional details that you would have to add in and layer in to make it workable? And that's sort of the kind of thing that we could do rather than try to just sort of address questions, to be tasked with sort of that at a project level to say, okay, what does that look like? What are the considerations? What are the pros and cons? What are the mechanisms by which you effectuate it? That's something we're very well set to do as lawyers. I mean, just generally, you know, And it may be helpful to see in the next several days, you know, sort of the meat on those bones. It may help alleviate the sort of long stream of questions, and better focus the efforts. Just a suggestion.
Thanks, Holly. You're right. It is not the intent of having a deep discussion on the different items on the agenda, like board removal, budget approval, bylaw approval, etc. We are aware that wouldn't be possible in just 1 hour, and the intention of adding them to the agenda as items was to rather outline the next steps that would be feasible in order to approach to meet our goals, and you just said it right. The next step would be to, of course, have the legal sub-team make a review of the document that were handed by Adler and by Sidley, and ask you, in turn, how we can operationalize this method. So you are right. That would be the next step to have. So I just want to make sure that we are clear that we don't want the lawyers to redesign ICANN, but rather to help us check on the legal viability of the different powers and mechanisms that are being put in the table so far, so we can, of course, have a legally viable proposal put for public comment on the 21st and 20th of April, and that would be the kind of work we would be asking from the lawyers. So I see Athena Fakuli hand this up. Athena, could you please take the floor?
Yes, Athena again. I think at the last meeting, the face-to-face meeting in Istanbul, the whole 50WG meeting, we were discussing, like when we were discussing the way forward and all the different suggestions, the idea was to present, let's say, the work that has already been done in terms of these suggestions. As Leon said, and that's my understanding, and I agree with him, there has been a lot of work being done on the suggestions. And what we want from the lawyers is to let us know whether the suggestions are legitimate, are in line with the Californian law, and so on. Next to like the additional questions that we will that we are planning to submit like formally to the lawyers, maybe we should also submit the templates, the suggestions with the various mechanisms or the ones that we find that need to be addressed at this point in time. Thank you.
Thank you, Athena. Yes, that would be most useful. We will be handing the different templates of the mechanisms to the lawyers so they can take a look at them and they can begin examining the legal viability of each of the mechanisms. So they can, of course, come back to us with that feedback that we're looking for. I don't know if that is an old hand wholly or if it's a new hand.
No, that's actually a new hand.
Okay, well
so I'm learning. I'm learning. I took my hand down and I put it back up.
Excellent. So
look,
please
I just want to cut to the chase. This doesn't have to be as complicated as we're making it all. You tell us what you need to know, and we'll provide the information. I do think that if you made it a priority to task us with, as between the Adler and Sidley firm, we can work cooperatively and split this up, take the board removal idea, the budget approval idea, the bylaw approval idea, and golden bylaws, and provide a more detailed memo on what are the pros and cons, you know, what are the options, what is the level of detail that you'd need to be able to provide and address, what are some of the additional issues that all of this will raise, we could get right to the point. And I think in a week we could have a memo for you that would answer a lot of your questions and give you a much clearer path around the ways in which you can do the things that you want to do. I'm not suggesting in any way that we would be redesigning or structuring ICANN and how you're thinking about it. I'm really talking about giving you some clarity and detailed information about the kinds of issues that will come up. So far, we've been dealing with all of these issues at a very high level, and the devil is going to be in the details. So that's my proposal, and I think rather than just responding to sort of a free flow of questions that's coming through, to task us with this would be really important, and it would set a priority, and we could get something that would be helpful to you and your ability to meet your timeline.
Thanks, Holly. And yes, that is the next step we're taking. We would like to task the lawyers with this task. And, of course, having this in 1 week's time would be very helpful. And this is exactly what we need to do. I mean, we need to focus on how can we or different aspects of these 4 points. And I would add maybe 2 more points which are not really formally discussed as empowerment, but rather as mechanisms in our group. And I would add the independent review panel. And, of course, some questions will come along with that notion. And the reconsideration process, that's another thing that I would think that it might be useful for us to consider at the time. because what we're looking at here is two different proposals, which are the templates that we will hand in to you. And what we want to know is if what we're doing, what we're working on, will be landing softly in the legal side of the world, or if we're just doing something that will not be implementable with regards to the legal issues that might come around. And I see that Rosemary has asked a question on the chat. Should all questions about what's viable assume that we have exactly the existing I'm sorry, this just moved. The existing ICANN structure? I would say no. I would say that while we don't want the lawyers to build a new ICANN from the ground up, I would say that, of course, we need to have a look at the current legal structure of ICANN. But what we would much appreciate is to have a view on how we can achieve what we want to reach. So if that is not possible with the current ICANN structure, then what would we be expecting is to tell us how we can achieve that and which structural changes would need to be in place so that we could implement the different powers and mechanisms that we want to put in place. So I don't know if this clarifies the notion. I see Holly Gregory's hand is up. So Holly, could you please take the floor?
Sure. And really, I don't mean to dominate this. I just think I'm just pushing to get real clarity so that we can provide you the best product from the two law firms in the shortest period of time. I think the issues around structure and the IRP are clearly important, but I think that the more we can just, for the week's purpose, focus on these other mechanisms, we can think certainly about bylaw approaches to invigorating IRP processes, but without getting deep into structure, I think it will be better. Just given the short time frame. So I put that out there. I think certainly the bylaw mechanisms can consider, you know, are there ways to give some teeth to the IRP? But we can do that without getting into a structural consideration at this point, I would think, to give you a sense of the optionalities. Thank you.
Thanks, Holly. Next in the queue is Edward McNicholas. Edward, could you please take the floor?
Yes, I just wanted to add on from Holly's comment that one of the issues that would vastly help to simplify it would be to focus on the law in California as we have been, and to avoid kind of looking at these questions across the globe. If the California law provides sufficient flexibility to do what needs to be done, it could be done under other legal systems, but I think if we focus on California law for now and leave the kind of broader jurisdictional piece to the side, that for at least for now, that may help to get us to a good place faster.
Thanks for pointing this out, Ed. I think it's very useful, and of course that should be the way to go. And that kind of gives a smooth transition to the next point of the agenda item, which is jurisdiction. And, of course, I don't mean to have an exhausting discussion on this point at the moment, but it is certainly a concern that has been raised by several members within the working group. And we need, of course, to address those concerns and to be able to provide with the answers to the different questions that have been raised with regards to jurisdiction. And to give you a very lean background on what we have in hand is that some members or some community members are concerned that maybe having ICAM being based in the U.S. jurisdiction might have some sort of disadvantages to other countries, which is a political discussion. And, of course, what we decided to, the way we decided to go within the discussion in Istanbul was to have a look at jurisdictional issues only when the California law wouldn't provide us with the tools to implement something, or the U.S. jurisdiction wouldn't help us to implement something at that certain jurisdiction. So for the time being, I can tell you that jurisdiction, of course, will need to be addressed, but we have decided that this will be a work stream 2 issue, which means that it would have to be addressed after the transition. But I think that this that these questions that have been raised so far would be important to be addressed, so that those members in the group that have concerns with regards to jurisdiction can have a better look or a better feeling on what we're talking about. So, for example, the question on what extra accountability would changing jurisdiction bring to the community, I think that's a very open-end question, since, as you said on one of your emails, this would need to be a matter of researching different jurisdictions, so you could tell us, of course, which are the pros of moving jurisdiction to other country. So I don't think that can be made at this point. But maybe the one, maybe the question that is related to which provisions, if any, can be included in the bylaws or articles of incorporation relating to jurisdiction issues. That might be one answer that could, I mean, one question that could be answered at this point. And, of course, we will be assigning it formally through a memorandum. But this is just to give you an idea on how the jurisdiction issue is being discussed within the group, so you can have the feeling and you can have a better picture of how the discussion is developing. And I see David McCauley had this up. So, David, could you please take the floor?
Thank you, Leon. I agree largely with what you said. I would say this about jurisdiction in specific answer to what Rosemary was asking. I think what we're talking about now is the place where ICANN is actually located, incorporated, that kind of thing. But to that, I think we should say that any questions that the lawyers would need to address on jurisdiction would only come in the memo, as we said before. This is really a political discussion for the larger group now, and we've talked of it largely in terms of Workstream 2, but as Matthew said this week on the call, this is the number one question he sees. And we do need to address somehow, immediately, politically, not for the lawyers, the notion that Fadi has set an expectation at the Congress of the United States that, that this matter is already addressed. And so I agree with you. I would just say to the lawyers, please don't worry about jurisdiction unless we ask for it specifically in a memo. Thank you.
Thanks, David. And yes, you're right. And I think that we shouldn't go into the political discussion. That is another very different story. And we should, of course, focus on the legal advice rather than political issues. I see Holly Gregory's hand is up. Holly, could you please take the floor?
Certainly. So in response to the jurisdictional questions, this is the kind of example of a of the questions, the way they're stated, where we, being sort of, you know, new to the whole community and learning as fast as we can, but really needing context, becomes important. We can read these questions in a whole host of ways. Jurisdiction can mean, where are you incorporated? Jurisdiction can mean, where are your headquarters, which is a totally separate question than where are you incorporated, at least under U.S. concepts of law. So you could be incorporated in California, and you could have your primary office in London. Jurisdiction can also mean what laws apply to dispute resolution. And there are a whole host of options around international arbitration and, you know, just a huge variety of sort of options to explore. And so when we get a question like this, this question does not give us enough information about what you want to know and why. And without that context, we can rapidly go down what we call a rat hole and start addressing something that this is not, that's not in the scope of your concern. So I just wanted to use that as an example of where we need context and clarity, and questions that you all think might be clear to you are not always clear to us.
Thank you very much, Holly, and you're absolutely right. I mean, that's why I want to provide more context with regards to the jurisdiction issue. And we do have a paper on jurisdiction with different questions and, of course, the different approaches that jurisdiction might have attached to it. So we will circulate this paper to you so you can have a better grasp of the different points of view that we're looking into. I see Rosemary Faye just pointed that there were more questions with regards to jurisdictional issues raised to the lawyers last week. And yes, of course, this had to do with the different approaches on jurisdiction. And yes, there were some questions with regards to the ability to sue or be sued. There were questions with regards to governance. There were questions with regards to many issues. So these are all in the paper that we're working in our effort to try to address those concerns of the members of the working group or the participants with regards to jurisdictional issues. And we will circulate the papers so we can just continue to work on it. And I see Rosemary is calling for lawyers to have a role in clarifying the questions before we're asked to answer them. Yes, I think that would be very helpful, and I don't see why you wouldn't be able to do that. So, yes, let's find a way so that we can coordinate in clarifying the questions before they are formally assigned. And that is, I think, what we can do with the mailing list. As you saw with yesterday's many emails, there were some questions raised there. So the next step for me would be, I mean, the logical step would be to maybe do this exercise with both Adler and Sidley to take a first look at the questions and see if there are any doubts or need for clarification in any aspect. So we can, of course, provide you with not only the contextual information, but with the clarification on each questions. So we will then, in turn, make the formal assignment through a memorandum. Would that work for both of you, Holly and Rosemary?
Yes. Very much so.
Excellent. Excellent. So, well, that would be so far the information we would like to discuss at this call with regards to jurisdiction, and I would also like to ask you to mute your microphones while you're speaking. And with regards to liability, I saw that Sidley has already provided initial answers to some of the questions with regards to liability. And, well, of course, this will be a discussion we will need to deepen in our further calls and in the mailing list as well. And I don't think we need to discuss deeply in this call these questions, as the questions as jurisdiction. They were in the agenda. They were meant to be here just as a reference of the needs that we are looking into at the moment and to provide more context to the lawyers. So with regards to the liability issue, as you may be aware, there have been some proposals that are trying to build, maybe, or are proposing to build, for example, a supervisory board. Some members have asked, which would be the liability of those supervisory board members if this structure did, in fact, become implemented. So this is the kind of context that we're looking at from the different templates that we will put in hand to the lawyers. You will see that some of the mechanisms, of course, look into different bodies or into different structures that might in turn be, of course, formed by individuals, and the concern is to which extent being part of any given body or mechanism would encompass some kind of liability to those who are part of those bodies. So, of course, there will be more details with regards to these questions, and we're happy to provide more context or clarification as needed. And now I would like to open the floor for questions or comments with regards to the initial feedback received from both Sidley and Adler. I'm mindful of the time. We have pretty much 5 minutes left for this call. So if anyone would like to raise any comments or questions, I'm aware that we have very little time, but maybe just if someone needs clarifications or would like to raise some comments with regards to the initial feedback, now it is the time, so the floor is open. I see Tara Hoffheimer. Jessica, could you please take the floor?
Sorry, I was taking my phone off mute. It was pausing. It didn't seem to be there were too many questions, but I did put a note in the chat that I think in the remaining time it would be good to clarify sort of what the timeline is for the most immediate action items, especially for the lawyers, so we understand next steps over the next week.
Thanks, Joshua. Specific tasks at this point, I think it would be to have the lawyers to take a look at the different templates of the mechanisms that we are currently discussing in the working group, so you can begin thinking of where we would be facing any legal difficulties on implementation. So, as I said, we will circulate the different templates for you to have a look at them, and please keep in mind that these templates might be some kind, in a way, like the notes we took at school that only the one that's taking the notes might understand. So please feel free to approach us and ask us for any clarification you would need to better understand the different templates. Don't look at the templates as something that's set in stone. Of course, these templates are some work in progress, so feel free to comment on them. And of course, the most useful feedback from you will be that on the legal viability for the different mechanisms in this template. So that is a specific task that I'm putting in place at this moment for the lawyers next week. We will circulate this today so you can begin taking a look at these templates and, of course, for any clarification if you see fit. And I see David McCullough's hand is up. Please, David, could you take the floor?
Thank you, Leon. I would second what Athena said in the chat, but I think that if we could come up today with one or two things that we could send to the lawyers, that would be great. But in the order of things, I would put that we, the legal sub-team, should try and get together organizationally and sort out a couple of things first in order to help the process forward. And so that would be my suggestion. Thank you.
Excellent, David. Yes, we should definitely do that. And let's do this through the list, if you're okay. We can take this offline. and by as well, I mean to the list. And let's sort this first, and then assign the different questions to the lawyers while they have time to look at the different templates. So with this, we have reached the top of the hour. I see Greg Shetton hand us up. Greg, could you please take the floor?
Thank you, Leon. I think it's important before we break to try to take an explicit look at the timeline of the cross-community working group. I don't know that an updated written timeline has been issued by either of the two working groups after Istanbul, but the timeline for the CWG that was worked out in Istanbul has us putting out a draft report for public comment on April 20th, which is roughly 3 weeks from now. My understanding from just looking at the report from my CSG representative, Steve Del Bianco, that there is also at least the idea of an ambitious timeline of putting out a draft report for public comment in late April to synchronize by this group, to synchronize with the CWG's draft report so that the two can somewhat move together through the process and ultimately be part of the submission to the NTIA, given that the a number of aspects of the CWG's proposal rely on the development of mechanisms by the CCWG. I think it would be helpful before we get off the call to actually, look at the calendar for the month of April and see whether what we're doing now is going to help the group with that timeline, assuming that that's the timeline of the group. There's really only, after this week, between now and the 20th, there's really only two working weeks. I don't have a proposal per se about how to do that, but I think in part that, has to interlock with what the expectations of the CCWG as a whole is going to be about putting together its work. And I know that, the various working parties are engaging in an intensive work, and I think we need to understand better what they need. So we may need to interface, say, with, Jordan Carter, and I think we have Becky Burr on this call, but understand whether we're going to give them information that we that is going to funnel back into actually completing the work of the group. And right now I feel a little bit better than I did at the beginning of the call, but I still don't know that we have kind of grafted our legal talent onto the process that's taking place in the working party.
Thanks, Greg. I note that Becky Burr is present at this call. I don't know, Becky, if you would like to make a comment with regards to what Greg just said and maybe help us guide the lawyers on what you as working parties would be expecting to have as feedback from the legal team.
Well, I think that the questions that have been raised in general cover the issues that I need help on. I mean, in particular, with Work Party 2, the focus will be on sort of durable or enduring bylaws and how we set those up and what kinds of processes are put in place to permit limited amendment to the mission and commitments and core values. And then the extent to, how we make the findings of an independent review panel binding on ICANN. So those are the issues that I'm looking at, and those issues seem to be, thoroughly raised in this conversation.
Thanks, Becky. So I'm aware we have just passed the hour, so I would like to call now for any other business at this point. I don't know if that's an old hand or a new hand, Greg. That's an old hand. Okay. Well, are there any other business that anyone wants to raise at this point? I see in the chat that we would like to, or that there are many members of the legal section that would like to have a meeting later today just to, of course, sort things out and so that we are able to task the lawyers with specific tasks later today. So I don't know if staff could help us set up maybe a call later today. I see from staff we have Adam and Alice, Barry, and Brenda. Could you please confirm whether we could be able to set up a call for later today? I don't know which would be the best time, but if you could tell us which are the available spots to have maybe the Adobe Connect room on. That would be very useful. So could you please confirm, I don't know, Alice, could you tell us whether this would be something that we could achieve today? Or maybe Adam, I don't know, who is able to confirm this to us? Okay, I see Brenda is telling us that Working Party 1 is at 2021 UTC today. Brenda, could you help us set up this call for us later today and send the appropriate invites? And, of course, include this to the general list so that everyone is aware that this call will be taking place. And we assure that we have a very transparent method of letting everyone know that this call will be taking place. So, Alice, we will look into this and be in touch shortly. What about 2021 UTC. I would be okay with 2021 UTC. If everyone is okay with that, let the call for that hour. And I would, of course, like to ask staff to send the appropriate invite with along with the Adobe Connect room information, etc., so we can hold the call later today. And, of course, a note to the general list will be sent, letting them know that we are having this last-minute call for today, so anyone that wants to join can be able to do so. So with this, I'd like to call this meeting adjourned, and I thank you all for your time, and especially to the lawyers for their patience with dealing with this multi-stakeholder method of doing things, as Robin stated in the chat, that sometimes can be a little bit messy. Well, talk to you soon, and I hope that we can make further progress on our call today. Thanks, everyone.